everybody. Welcome to Canucks Corner, presented by Puckin' Flamingo. My name's Andrew. Once again, I'm welcomed by my boys Steve and Zach. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How about you?
Yeah, great, Steve. Look, you got a nice hairdo going on, Steve.
Got a new haircut.
He really gelled it for the episode.
Yeah. Eh? Oh, yeah.
Trying to pretty it up for the camera.
100%. Yeah, that's the only thing I got going for me.
It's Sunday morning.
Hey, you may not be able to pronounce the players' names, but you sure as hell look good.
Right. Look good. Right. Screwing up butchering people's names. That's what we're known for from now on. I'm just known as a guy that can't pronounce names.
Well, I finally got through the comments on that live event you guys did. I was laughing so hard at those comments.
that's very good. That's a fun event to do. We'll do that again for sure.
Yeah. Well, hey, it means people are listening and paying attention. That's awesome.
Yeah, and communicating. All that's fun to interact with them.
Yep.
Yeah. Zach, how are you doing, buddy? You doing good?
Good, man. Good. Yeah, just got the kids down for a nap, so there should be no background noise on my end. Hopefully.
you won't be running around the house with a microphone on top of your laptop.
No. I shouldn't be running away from my kids this episode. So.
That's no problem. That's the beauties of working from home.
That's the content, though. We need the content.
Yeah.
Right on.
Great. So, okay. I mean, the last time we spoke, big things happened. And since then, big things continue to happen. This offseason, the Canucks have so far had new additions to their coaching staff. They've been involved in 3 different trades. They've signed 15 free agents. And they've had 2 buyouts. That's busy. It's busy for Jim Benning.
Two buyouts on guys they signed contracts the year before.
Okay. We all saw the memes, Steve.
Lots of activity, though. You're right. Lots of activity.
Yeah, it's good, though. It's nice to see. It's not just like one big, I'm going to say big, but one splash in the free market or free agency. Market. Yeah. We've been doing a lot of different types of moves, which it's nice to see us finally doing that type of stuff, right? So
yeah, and kind of adding on to what you said there, Steve, this is like what happens when you bring a couple of Swedes into the organization, right? They steer the 100%. GM into the right direction.
Yeah, well, 100%, right? Like I feel like I think the Canadians have a lot to do behind all these moves. Maybe not everything that's going on, but I think they have their hand in it at least. I'm pretty sure he have a big thing in the OEL trade, both being in Sweden, playing together in Sweden, winning a gold medal together.
I'm not sure if was it Archak group I mentioned it in, but like I think this is a result of Benning kind of being given free rein. Now I don't know how do you feel about Zach? Like I feel like he kind of said in an interview before all the stuff went down that the Aquilinis have allowed him to kind of spend some money and buy out contracts where before his hands were tied, he couldn't. Do you think we're actually seeing what Benning's capable of doing being off a leash? Or do you think that this has to do with
other factors? I mean, I think Benning certainly had his mess ups in the past, but I think the difference between this one and kind of the last band-aid fixes, I mean, you could even look at the Erickson contract that finally got shipped out, but that when he was signed, it was trying to add like a band-aid to an aging out core, trying to give it one last injection before it kind of died. And it obviously failed. It was a big mistake. We should have kind of started dismantling a little bit earlier, selling pieces and starting that rebuild sooner rather than trying to inject some life into that aging core. But this time around, I think he's bolstering an up and coming core, right? So I do think, like, I mean, the Aquilinis are pretty well known around the league to be fairly involved owners. So hopefully, they get their fingers out of it a little bit, because I mean, that's what you hire people to do. I mean, you want them to run the team. Like that's what you're paying them to do. So you might as well let them build it the way they imagined it. But yeah, I think maybe it is. I mean, he certainly had the green light to spend and buy out Holtby, like Steve was saying, 1 year after signing him, or Virtanen 1 year after signing him, although there were underlying consequences with Virtanen, so don't let the door hit you on your way out. But maybe that is it. Maybe they kind of took the reins off him a little bit and he's getting to really put his fingers into it. But like Steve's alluded to too, we've all kind of talked about, like, this definitely is do or die for Benning. Like if he doesn't get this team moving in the right direction, like he's firmly on the hot seat. So I think a part of that definitely plays into the decisions this offseason.
Cool. I didn't have that in my schedule. I just popped into my head. So we got a lot to cover in not a little time, not a lot of time. So first I want Steve and I've talked about this before, but I haven't talked to you, Zach, about it. We'll get Steve's opinion as well. But sure, Zach, since Steve's already spoken on it, we'll get yours first. Sure. Brad Shaw joining the organization. Where you at?
I think it's a good move, something to hopefully shore up kind of the Canucks play on the defensive side of the puck. I mean, we all see kind of the systems that Columbus has employed while not having the most star-studded lineup, but they're still able to shut people down. I mean, from what I've read, and like, I don't pay a ton of attention to assistant coaching moves. I mean, other than the Ian Clark signing for the goaltending coach was pretty huge, but from what I've read, the hands that he kind of had involved in the Columbus series shutting down the Lightning in 2018 and just absolutely grinding them to a halt, like he's come a long way in adapting his game and trying to shape it towards the opposition that they're facing. So I'm hoping that he can bring a little bit more structure, a little bit more support on the defensive side of the puck. You know, that's only going to look good for Demko as well on the goaltending end. That's going to look good for team numbers. And plus, he's got guns on the Canucks that he didn't have in Columbus. So if we can just get a little bit better on the defensive side, I mean, I think we've got the offense to take care of it. So I love the move. I think it's going to be really good this year.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. Steve?
Yeah, I definitely agree. One thing I kind of want to bring up to you guys or ask you is, at least, is how does that affect Baumgartner? I know, knowing him, he's more on the defensive side. Now Bradshaw is coming in. That could be a clash of heads and who gets power over, right? If they can all gel together, that's just something I was thinking about, right? Maybe Baumgartner's on his way out. Who knows? But having Shaw there, I think he's very, very defensively minded. He's going to help our penalty killers too. I think he's taking over a penalty kill. And power play, maybe? I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think it's penalty kill at least.
I don't think so. I think, what's his name there? King.
Yeah.
Jason King, is that his name? Sorry. Yeah,
I think it's Jason King. So, yeah, he'll be taking power or penalty kill. And our defense is just going to shore up, right? It's nice looking at our projected starting defense here, too. The only person under 6'2 is Hughes. Everyone else is 6'2 besides Myers, who's 6'8. So, I mean, we haven't had that for a while. Our defense is pretty solid back there. So, especially addition with Dickinson too. He's another 6'2 guy. I mean, we got pretty big team this year.
Right. And he's like, you know, he's worked with Seth Jones. Helped him
in Columbus
grow in Columbus. Columbus, actually, they were top 10 in multiple defensive categories. Like you said, Zach, they didn't shine offensively. They didn't win a ton of games, but defensively, they were pretty rock solid. And if we can add that to our offensive core, I think that'll be great. What I'm interested in is I'm interested to see how he meshes with Travis Green.
Do you think he'd do some headbutting there?
I don't know if he'll be headbutting, but I don't think he's ever worked for a coach like this. He worked for what, Torts and Hitchcock?
This will make it a lot easier, man.
if he likes that style of coaching, yeah.
I can imagine how it would be working with Torts, right? And Hitchcock's kind of the same way. They have that more of an aggressive. I mean, if Greener can give Shaw the green light, and I don't think there'd be any problem, right? So you let him, he's a specialist in that. You let him do what he needs to do, right? That's why you brought him in. Don't hinder him back. Let him work and what he has to do.
Yeah. Speaking of defensemen, the last time we spoke, I think we all agreed that we needed right-handed defensemen. Mm-hmm. We went out and signed 4 of them. So that was more than I expected.
Yeah, it's true.
Zach, you look like you have an opinion.
I'm excited to see it kind of shored up because we've got a lot of offense on our left side. So I don't think we were looking for a ton of flash necessarily on the right side of our defensive core. So I didn't expect them to make like a huge splash really, but I think Benning did a good job in shoring up depth and shoring up some guys who are, you know, responsible on the defensive end of the puck, and they'll hopefully be able to cover the ice for, you know, a guy like Quinn Hughes or OEL to kind of activate a little bit more in the play. Because I mean, you've seen it obviously in Quinn Hughes the last couple of years. He would do well with kind of that safety blanket style defensive partner, somebody who can kind of cover up when he does get caught up ice. So I like it. I mean, I like the depth that they've added. Again, like Steve alluded to, the size. Like I said, like I haven't been this excited for a Canucks season since 2012, after we lost in the Stanley Cup final. So maybe I'm too optimistic, but I really like the look of it. I like the layout. The left side is going to take care of a lot of the offense, and the right side kind of just has to be defensemen. So I think it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So speaking of defense jumping forward, who do you pair Hughes with? So I'm looking on Cap Friendly right now, and they have Myers with Hughes, and like you said, there's he needs to have a defenseman that kind of stays back, and Myers isn't a D-man. He gets caught pinching a lot, and he doesn't have the foot speed to get back. He has a long reach, which can save him sometimes, but I mean, he does pitch up. So do you agree with them and have Myers with them, or are you going to put Hamonic with them?
I would probably say Hamonic. They're both experienced, but I think Hamonic is a little bit more defensive minded, where if you had OEL with Myers, Myers could activate a little bit more. And Larson is probably a bit of a faster skater too, and he's more experienced, so he will play a little bit better defensively than Hughes, I imagine. So I would probably go Hughes and Hamonic with OEL and Myers, but again, yeah, I'm not a coach, but we can all armchair GM, and but that's what I would do anyway.
Do you think Pullman would have a space in there and maybe drop Myers 100%. Down to with Uvevi? Is that what you think,
bro? Sorry, you mean Pullman in the top four?
Yeah. Do you be Pullman in and drop Myers down? Because Myers, to me, is probably the biggest liability on that, in that top four.
I'd probably say Pullman's a bigger liability. His stats last year were not very impressive.
Depends
how you look at it. he did nothing. Like he wasn't even on the score sheet.
With Pullman though, he played with he came from Winnipeg and played with Morrissey, right?
Yeah, it was pretty.
Yeah, Morrissey's stats were better when playing with Pullman than without. So maybe his stats himself might not be great, but he'd be able to elevate his department to a next level, right? So I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing out here and just kind of throwing some ideas at you guys.
Fair enough. I mean, it depends on how guys mesh too. Like, he could swap in and out with Myers, for second and third pairing.
Moving Myers, what do you guys think of that?
Sorry, what about Myers?
Moving
Myers.
I wouldn't at this stage. I mean, I just looking at our right side, Myers, I mean, you know, whether people like his style play or not, I think he's still a really effective top four defenseman. And in our right side, I would say him and Hamonic shore that up. I don't know if I'd want to move Pullman up the lineup and then expose anybody else there. But, you know, I have a buddy who made a pretty good point. He's a massive Canuck fan, but he said it's funny that, you know, Canuck Nation is so focused on our 5-6 D man, but if that's our biggest concern, like, really, we're in pretty good shape. like if everybody's worried about our 5-6 defense pairing, it's like, all right, we're in a pretty good spot then if that's our biggest concern heading into this season. So it's I don't know. I'm fine with Myers. I wouldn't look to move him unless a deal makes sense, but I wouldn't be selling him for futures. I would be trading him as a hockey trade, something that helps us now.
Yeah, even a one-for-one type deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the other guys you have bouncing out, battling for spots are Uvevi and Rathbone, which we kind of spoke about. Mm-hmm. And then you have Luke Shen as well, who's also joined the organization again.
For the second time.
Yeah, so he could be a guy that's battling for a spot.
I remember when he came in. When we let him go. One of the biggest things is how big of a locker room guy Luke Shen was, and how he was when he was in the NHL, and you know, he didn't think he was better than the guys in the NHL and helped them try to develop. So, If he comes in a seventh pair, maybe he's a healthy scratch, or if he can go down and play in the AHL, sorry. Maybe it'll help some of our young guys down there. So I really like the Luke Shen pickup. I've heard nothing but good things about him. So
yeah, another name was Brad Hunt, and he's an older guy, he's 32. But look, he was he'll be a big part of the AHL group in Abbotsford. But when asked about it, he said, I'm going to play in Vancouver. Like, so he has the mindset of hitting training camp and making the team, which is huge, right? Mm-hmm. Which puts more pressure on guys like Ulevi, Rathbone, Shen, and that's what produce. You need guys battling for spots.
And I'm pretty sure Brad Hunt's a local guy too. So that always adds a little bit of fire to it.
Maple Ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You always want to play for your hometown team, I'd assume.
Yeah. So yeah, that's great. And then kind of speaking about trading Myers, that kind of leads us to our next topic. So the only reason I would back a Myers move is kind of the opposite of what she said, Zach. I would move him for picks because we need to, maybe not Myers. Well, we need cap space, right? We have 14 million left. And mm-hmm. we have three big names that are still without contracts. Two huge names, one just acquired, and Olli Ylivi still needs a contract as well.
Yeah, we have four, I think, right? Four total.
That's funny I am not concerned about cap space at all. Like, I think we're in pretty good shape 14 here.
14 million though, and I mean
plus three and a half for LTIR from Ferland, and or he may retire. So
yeah.
I mean, our best case scenario was Quinn Hughes and Pedersen, 14 million, wasn't it? So that leaves no more room left except for the 3.5 you mentioned.
And that's if we get them for 14 mil, if they want that extra money, that cuts in huge, right? So
if an offer sheet goes in.
Yeah, if they take a discount, I'd be happy with that. But yeah, we still need to get Ylivi in there too. With Hughes and then Dickinson too, we haven't signed, so we have to make sure we get those signed. So I don't know what Dickinson's gonna want, and if we have Ylivi and Dickinson and we have 3 million yet left, well, you know, this will be pretty tight.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that Dickinson isn't gonna be too crazy here. Like, what was his last contract? I'm trying to find it here. It looked like, no, that was 2 years, 3 million. So he was signed in at 1.5. I can't imagine he's going to be much higher than that, really. Probably in and around the, I don't know, 1.25 to 2 mil, somewhere in there. Ylevi's not going to demand much because, really, what has he done to demand a substantial raise? He's still going to be in that 6-7 range. He, you know, he's battling with Rathbone, Hunt, with a bunch of the rest of the defensive core. So I can't imagine him taking much. I imagine that 3.5 million is going to take care of Ylevi and Dickinson at least. So I don't know. I'm not too concerned about it. I think Benning's in a pretty good shape cap wise. Like you said, I mean, if an RFA offer sheet comes in at Petey, that's a bit of a different story, but I don't think I'm too concerned with it, but it could become an issue, but I don't think we're too far off of a number there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, me too. And then finally, Steve, I'm going to talk about this just for you, buddy, because you got a hard on for this guy. I thought Nicholas Batad.
Oh, I know, man. I think he's a better player than you.
He's a better player than me, that's for sure. Yeah.
No, I think I my opinion. Of, yeah. No, that's not.
What I know saying, what you obviously. Mean. Yeah. Hey, what you mean? Obviously.
Otherwise, you'd be there and not there, bud.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a huge fan of Nick Dan.
Yeah, go on.
I mean, he definitely helps out that AHL team. He's gonna be probably the top line. He can play center or wing, it doesn't really matter. Yes, he's a smaller guy at 5'9", 175, but I remember watching him for Team Canada and the World Juniors and just loving how that guy plays. He doesn't play like a 5'9" player, right? He plays a lot with a lot of heart. I think he's going to do very well for us. Having to come up and fill maybe a fourth or third line role if for due to injuries or anything like that. Yeah. But other than that, he'll be sitting in our AHL team. Maybe fun to watch going to games.
He's definitely going to be a headliner for Abbotsford. He'd be a guy that I'd want to go to Abbotsford and watch for sure.
Yeah,
and he'll be great for our squad when he has to come up, because he will. We'll see him in a sweater. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's 26. So he's that middle range guy that still has a little bit of gas in the tank. So
yeah,
That's another thing that I like about what Benning's done. You know, we've got able bodies who can come up. We're not pulling guys up who nobody has ever heard of, who've never sniffed the NHL. You know, like, we're going to have guys who are able to come up, fill in when they need to, and go back down when, you know, when the guy comes off the IR. But I think that we've got a lot of depth now. I mean, we're talking about guys like Brad Hunt on D, again, Rathbone, Ulevi, whoever, Luke Shen. I mean, that's four guys who are essentially battling for one or two spots, probably one spot. But they're all able-bodied NHLers for whatever time frame we need. And then it's same with the forward core now. We've got guys like Nick Patan and, you know, Justin Bailey, guys who can come up and fill in Matthew Highmore when they need to. But we're not kind of drawing names out of a hat at this stage. We've actually got people who can come in and fill in when they need to.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Justin Bailey being a 6'4", 250-pound dude, too. So somebody to throw some size around.
Mm-hmm.
And to even go even deeper to what you're saying there, Zach, we go into our minors, and we still have McEwen, you know, guys like William Lockwood, Jonas Gradovich, yeah. I can't remember his name. You know, and then other guys coming up like Jet Wu, who I'm really pumped on. I know some people are iffy on him, but I think he's gonna be a big guy coming through. Same with Madison Bowie. So not only do you have guys that can make that jump up to the NHL, but guys that'll be able to maybe work for a starting spot as they're coming up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the depth is here like we haven't had in a long time. And that's, again, one of the most exciting things to me, aside from the actual roster we're gonna be icing, but the depth that we'll have to be able to fill in when we do inevitably get injuries.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. I want to move on to goaltending, but I just quickly before I, yes,
my favorite.
But before I do, I sent you guys this because I was really pumped on it. I just want to read out the power play units really quick as they're in a daily faceoff. So we've got Bo Horvat on the first line power play, winged by Brock Besser, Connor Garland, with Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson on the back end. Like, that is a scary sounding first power play.
Holy
scary.
Everyone of those guys can bury the puck.
I know, every single one of them. And then you go to the second unit and you have JT Miller in the middle, winged by Put Colson, Hoglander with Tanner Pearson and Oliver Ekman Larson.
Yeah.
On the points.
Yeah.
That's what, like, if our power play is not in the top seven in the league, someone's getting fired.
Yeah,
that's insane. And then to finish that off, you have Thatcher Demko in net with Yaroslav Black, mm-hmm. who is our newest acquisition. So with you guys being goaltenders, you could probably talk about this a lot more than I can. I'll give you a few stats which I'm excited about. So in the last 3 years, Black's posted a 2.4 goals against average and a 0.918 percentage. I mean, what more can you ask from a veteran backup goaltender?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing too. He has a lot of bonus in this contract. It's built different too. So he gets 1.25 million if he plays over 10 games, and a 250 bonus for over a 905 plus save percentage. So, theoretically, I don't know if this is going to happen, but theoretically, we could play him 9 games until we think DiPietro may be ready to make that step, and then not have to pay him the extra 1.25.
I think what that contract is, it's an injury insurance. I see him splitting the season 60-40.
You think it's that high? He's 36.
I think it'll be pretty high though. I mean, he can carry a workload, like even in Boston the last couple of years. Like, you know, him and Rask, they, you know, he did carry a lot of the load. Rask went down, he had injury issues, and it's, yeah, they, Boston did lean on him fairly heavily, even considering his age. But I do hear what you're saying.
But yeah, that's, I think, the thing is that, like, he was, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, yeah, like I said, I think that contract is, so if he plays 8 games and gets hurt, you know, then maybe we won't have to give him his bonus. But
I don't think I think that's what we built in for, but I don't think there's a clause in it due to injury. I think it's if he plays 10 games. So
right.
That's right. So Benning could theoretically make that move if, you know, Halak is not playing well or has a rocky start. And that's not 10 games played, that's him playing 10 games.
Right.
I think it's kind of like a backup insurance in case. I don't think DPS was ready to make that jump, but I like Halak. I don't know if I think he's going to take as much of the workload as you guys think, because he did take a lot of that workload later on in his career. But he's going to be a solid veteran backup goalie who can play when we need him to play. I'm really excited about him. I think it's a really good pickup.
Bear in mind, though, that Demko still hasn't played a full NHL season as a starting goaltender, right? That's so true. having a solid backup that can pick up 40% of the games, I think that's very important for a young keeper like Demko.
Yeah, I thought that was key in the signing too, is to have somebody who's a veteran experience who can carry a bit of the load. You know, like, I mean, Holtby ideally would have been a good fill-in for this too, just the salary was too high for him. But I think the Halak signing is great. Like, and Mikey last year, I think between whatever, with the shutdown of the WHL and everything, I think he had gone something like 470 games between starts. So he's got to play. Like, if we're going to really develop him, he's got to play in the AHL this year. So I think it was key to get a veteran backup for the NHL and get Mikey games with the Abbotsford Canucks, and quickly, like as many as he can, as much reps as he can. And I think that's why it was so key to signing a veteran backup, just so that Mikey could develop and get time on the ice.
Yeah, I agree with you. They even kind of brought up a backup for him and Spencer Martin
just yesterday or today.
So Spencer Martin will be coming in. DiPietro's 22, 6 foot, you know, 200 pound guy, a little small for today's age, but I mean, having Halak in there too, who's 5'11 5'10, mm-hmm. So it might be someone that DPS will get to pick his brain too as well. So
I think that's a big key too. I think that's an underrated point,
mm-hmm. That, you know, he's gonna be able to kind of work with that way, and then Ian Clark being the genius he is, right, it's definitely gonna be able to help these guys. I think you're right. I think we give as many games as we can in the NHL, then we bring him up next year once Halak's contract's up. So
That's one thing I think is. Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
No. Go ahead. It's all you.
I was going to say that's one thing I think this organization has really done well, is not just build our professional squad, but our AHL team. You know, it's going to be in a new city. It's going to be in a local city. People are excited for it. They want to ice a team that's going to perform well and fill the seats, right? So I think I think that's something they've gone out and done this offseason.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it did it for me. Like I said, I'm a huge Nick Petan fan, so I'm looking forward to seeing him play. But like I said, like our jersey, Steve. We got so.
I was picking up Petan jersey.
But I mean, like, there's still a lot of guys that I'm looking forward to see. Guys like Lucas Jacek or whatever, the Finnish guy, or not. I don't know if he's Finnish. He might be. What, Eastern European,
European guy.
Yeah. I think he was a draft pick from a few years ago who has a little bit of potential. I brought up Lockwood. I don't know. I'm just, it's gonna be fun. And then having Michael DiPietro down there to watch for as a goalie. So we should have a good team. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I agree. All right, guys. So is there anything else you guys want to cover before we sign out until next time from Canucks Corner?
No,
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, I think, yeah, I'm just amped. I'm just excited for the season.
I'm just waiting for for us to sign, get our contract signed and to fit these four guys inside there.
Right.
I think Benny's not dumb enough not to. So we'll find out. But I mean, his ass is on the line. Why would you make a trade for someone and protect someone that you're not going to be able to sign? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, but, yeah. And I think that's a good point, too. I think even with the signings, because I know some people were up in arms about Poolman getting 2.5 or about, you know, the Hamonic signings, the depth defensive signings. I don't think he makes those. He puts pen to paper unless he's got a pretty solid pulse on what Petey and Hughes are going to be signed for. So I'm honestly not that concerned. Like, we've got roughly 17.5 million when you include Ferland's LTIR to work with. I'm not too concerned, especially coming off of last season where Petey was injured for more than half the year. Hughes didn't exactly have the same numbers that guys like Heiskanen or Makar had. He's not going to demand the same salary that they do or the same term. Like we were talking about before, I think it's going to be lower AAV, at least in their comparables, on a shorter term bridge contract, something that they can ideally, you know, ace these contracts and then hit the payday big as the cap starts to raise. And then again, the pressure isn't as heavy on the Canucks to actually sign them to these tighter deals. We're going to have, again, the cap's going to be expanding. We're going to have guys coming off contract. We can deal with that kind of bridge once we get to it, but you know, no team is going to stay together 100% forever. But I do think that this core of PD, Hughes, Horvat, Besser, you know, I think they're going to get it done. And I'm not too concerned about this year.
Right on. That's a really good point. You know, negotiating the fact that in a couple of years, the cap space will be increasing and they could get more money if they sign a bridge short term.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Awesome, guys. Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks for tuning in, everyone who's listening. We will do another episode of Canucks Corner, likely after these contracts are signed. Until then, you can catch us on Puck and Flamingo doing certified dub petitions or The Great Debate on Facebook Live. You can click the link in our bio on Instagram or on Facebook. Check us out. Like us on your podcast platform. And yeah, until then, keep your skate on the ice and I'll talk to you guys a little bit later.
Right on. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Thank you guys.